The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you test drive the Kia Sportage, then prepare to be noticed.
Hello and good morning. Hope you all had a great weekend. And it was a case of get your Saharan Dust Euro a ton guaranteed to cover your car for at least 24 hours. Now, if we could only have a bit of Saharan weather in the months ahead, we'd be happy enough. No, we're going to go live now to the World Bridge Championships. Yes, I know it's hard to believe, but that most genteel of sports bridge is in the headlines because it appears that two Germans coughed their way to victory in the World Finals last September, breaking Rule 73B, which states, and I quote, "The greatest possible offence in bridge is for a partnership to exchange information through pre-arranged methods of communication." They have now been stripped of their title, have the German partners, despite their contention that their coughs were caused by the dodgy air conditioning. Well, could it or does it happen here? We're joined on the line now by Mary O'Rourke, who is a former champion bridge player. Mary, good morning.
Hello, John. I'm laughing away at the story. It's so funny. The two Germans, I can imagine them getting all huffed and puffed. And I think they were guilty, actually. I do, because they were doctors, you see.
And will you explain exactly what happened, Mary?
Well, what I read in the paper says that they were partners. Usually in bridge, you get yourself a partner, bridge partner, I mean, man or woman, and you play with that partner seriously in competition. Mm-hmm. That's in general. That even happens at club level, say in Athlone or Dublin or anywhere. And you play all the time with that bridge partner. Now, I have noticed that all over the world, bridge has tightened up amazingly in how you cannot at all talk or hum or cough or raise your eyebrow or make a sigh or a moan or touch your partner under the table, not out of love token, but out of a kick to say, why don't you lead such a card and all the rest. All that has evened out a lot. And bridge, even at club level, has got very, very punctilious and all the rules are there. But the idea of the two German 61 and 71 doctors, yeah. You see, they were doctors, so how could they not cure their coughs? That's what I think.
That's a good point indeed. Now, they refused to go to the hearing, which took place in Dallas, the hearing into their conduct, because they're contending that their coughs were caused by the dodgy air conditioning.
Or they're afraid they wouldn't get a proper hearing with the Americans, isn't that so?
It is too.
Kind of Cold War gone wrong.
I know.
But it's all, here am I coughing now, because coughs would be very, an arranged cough. It would have to be an arranged one, of course.
And this is to do what, Mary, for non-bridge?
In the bidding. You see, it's all, bridge all hinges on the bidding. You get your 13 cards in your paw, and you look at them and you wonder, oh, can I bid on that? And bidding means you have to have a certain number of points, and points are an ace is four, and a king is three, and a queen is two, and a jack is one, and so on. Or if you have four of one suit, that gives you an extra edge. So you're looking at your hand, and you don't know what your partner has. Well, you're not meant to know anyway. So if you had arranged a signal whereby when he said something, you could tell him what you had, apart from bidding, by an arranged cough or a lift of eyebrow or a kick under the table or whatever, that would mean you would be on the right track together. And that you would demolish your neighbour, your other two at the table. It's a four-person game around the table. Now, I don't know. It doesn't go on at club level because people go to play bridge at club level. You've made me cough now, excuse me. And I haven't got a cough at all. But
I'll develop one myself.
It's kind of suggestion, auto-suggestion.
Yes.
But people go to club level, and all over Ireland, hundreds and thousands turn out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to play for a bit of fun.
Yes.
Maybe they have a drink, maybe they have supper, and they have a partner, and they really enjoy the game. But it can get very cutthroat.
Yes.
I remember when I played with a regular partner. He was a man here in Athlone, a very respectable person. He was inspector of taxes, which is high, high, high. He wouldn't do anything wrong.
No.
Neither would I. And we loved our games, but The games then led to recriminations. The next day you'd ring one another. But why didn't you play the Four of Hearts? Why didn't you lead off with the Four of Hearts on such a round? I'll tell you, it went to that level. And I, instead of minding my babies and my burgeoning political career, would find myself going over and over card hands that we had played the night before. Anyway, politics took over. There was nothing as subtle as coughing.
Yes, and
you got a stab in the back.
You packed in the bridge. But I remember, Mary, when we were in City West last year,
the
year before, for the European Bridge Championships, and you were pointing out to me that the tables were set up with boards underneath them. Explain
where their knees couldn't touch and their feet couldn't touch.
Because that
would mean a signal. If you were out at a dinner party or something and you accidentally kicked someone under the table, you know, long ago that was supposed to be sexy or something. But not now. If you were doing that at the bridge table, that would mean something.
I see. So you would be sort of tic-tacking on the bidding.
It's the bidding. And also the lead. If you would go to, you see, the opening lead can mean a lot in bridge. Let's say you're on lead and you would really could demolish the other pair by a really smart lead, mm-hmm. which mightn't be, usually you play the lowest card of your best suit. Now, I know this sounds like gobbledygook, but the lowest card of your best suit is a signal that you have more cards behind that. Now, that's allowable because it's a card out in the public.
Right.
But if you can get a signal to do so, I just read again the piece and I thought to myself, those two Germans are as guilty as hell, I would think, simply because they're doctors. So if they had a cough, they could surely cure their cough.
Exactly. There should be no...
They shouldn't be coughing.
It's a pathetic excuse, really.
It's a pathetic excuse that the Bally temperature... Is that what you're saying? The Bally temperature?
Bally temperature and the air conditioning inside caused it.
And the air conditioning inside led them to. And you know, I was going to say the Germans are capable of anything, but I think in bridge it just gets so intense.
Yeah.
That anything you would resort, I would imagine, at that level to anything. Anyway, they've been ruled out. They can't play again.
No.
At that level, anyway.
Well, hopefully it doesn't spread to the game here in Ireland.
I hope it doesn't, because it's all great fun.
And I presume the stakes are very small.
Mary. Oh, very small. Yeah. You might win the prize on a night. It could be a bottle of wine. Right. It could be a fiver. It could be a restaurant gift, you know, to somewhere for dinner. But when I bowed out of politics, I did consider... Now, in the meantime, that partner I had retired. He'd gone on to another career, and then he had retired and come back to Athlone. And I remember talking to him and saying to him, but he now plays with his wife, so they can kick one another, or they like in the bed together before or after their bridge. But I remember saying to him, do you know, would I go back to play bridge again? And I thought about it, and I said, I just never would kind of subdue myself enough to sit at the bridge table. I'd want to be talking and chattering and all that
time.
Would mean you weren't serious about it.
So
I didn't go back to bridge.
And it wouldn't
Now I would be able to play a hand in a house, you know, play a hand if I was in a house party or something and somebody said, let's play bridge.
Yes.
I would be able to do that, but nothing else.
Not on a regular basis.
But it's a great game for your brain.
Yes, it sounds like
it. It keeps the brain terribly exercise, not to count all your antagonistic tendencies that you might have. You can get rid of them
at
the bridge table.
It's very therapeutic, I'm sure. Mary, stay on the line, because we're joined on the other line now by Rachel Kane of the Irish Daily Star.
I thought it might be one of the bridge players. Oh.
No. Unfortunately, they're well away from us. Rachel, good morning.
Morning, John. How are you?
And the headline.
Hi,
of the,
Rachel.
The headline in the Irish Daily Star this morning is "Pranks for Calling," and Rachel, you decided, Rachel, to take up an offer that the Taoiseach made in Washington a couple of weeks ago. Explain.
We did indeed, John. Well, I suppose as many people know, obviously the Taoiseach made quite a famous speech during his St. Patrick's Day address over in the US, where he seemed to be encouraging members of the public to give him a call. And he said, you know, my number is publicly available, so if you have any problems or any issues, give me a call. So we decided basically to test the theory and see, is he that accessible? So essentially yesterday morning, we decided to see if his number was available online, which indeed it was. Now, it took a little bit of looking, but we found it. And I suppose I gave him a buzz yesterday morning, assuming that he wouldn't answer the phone or that the call, the phone number would be disconnected or whatever you have. And no, he actually answered it.
He said hello.
He said hello. And I said, I'm looking to speak to Taoiseach Enda Kenny. And he said, speaking. needless to say, I made my apologies for rudely calling him on a Sunday morning, and especially given the fact that he lost out on an hour's sleep the previous night, like the rest of us.
Oh, you are horrible.
I know. But no, I have to say he was extremely pleasant with me, even though he would have been well within his rights to tell me where to go on a Sunday morning. But no, he was very, very nice and very pleasant and polite and cordial and friendly. And we had a chat, a brief enough chat, because obviously you don't want to push it with the Taoiseach on a Sunday morning.
Well, why not, Rachel? Did you ask him any pertinent questions about Mr. Shatter?
No, I said we'd leave Mr. Shatter out of it now. Maybe he hadn't had his breakfast yet. He mightn't have had the stomach for that so early in the morning. But he basically said that I asked him, you know...
Did you tell him, Rachel, you told him where you were from?
I did indeed, absolutely. Yeah, that was the first thing we did. I mean, you know, there was no way we were going to be in any way untruthful about it. Obviously, that was the first thing I said to him. I told him who I was and where I was calling from. And then I explained that the reason why I was calling was to ask or to verify that this number that was doing the rounds online was, in fact, the real deal. Mm-hmm. Which he qualified by saying, well, you're living proof of it now, Rachel. You know, you've gotten through to me, so it is obviously correct. And I suppose we just continued on then by asking him if he'd been getting many phone calls. So he revealed that he's been getting phone calls from around the world as a result of his public address in America. So I'd say his one would expect the Taoiseach's phone is busy, but I'd say it's busier than ever at the moment.
Did he suggest to you that he might change it? Because I think a government spokesman subsequent to your call said there are no such plans.
Yeah, no, I asked him, that was almost the first question I asked him. You know, I said, obviously, if you're having one of these mystery phone calls from random people, whether they're legitimate or pranksters, I said, would you consider changing? And he said, absolutely not. No intentions of it. So I think it obviously, personally, I thought it reflected extremely well on the Taoiseach that he's so accessible. I mean, I'd say we'd search fairly far to find a personal contact number for Obama or for Mr. Cameron or the like. So, he was very, very forthright, and he said, no, absolutely not. And he's sticking to his word. He said he was available if anybody needs to get in touch, and it turns out he is.
Mary, what do you reckon?
I think that's a great story. Rachel, first of all, I think you're quite bold and adventuresome. But I think it's a great story. I mean, where would you get a leader of a country that would have his phone in the public book or wherever you, however you found it? Maybe you rang 11811 or whatever you ring. But anyway, it didn't matter. You got him. And I think I listened to him saying it when he was on telly, and I thought, oh, you know, God, do you think you're the world's agony uncle or something? But there he was, available. I just think that's a very good story and reflects well on Enda Kenny. I do,
it
really.
It does indeed. It shows he's a man of his word. I mean, he said he was available, and he very much so is, you know.
And then when the call, how long were you on the phone to him, Rachel?
I kept it brief, to be honest with you, John. Obviously, I wasn't going to keep him on the phone for a long chat on Mother's Day and all the rest. Yeah. We had a nice, short, brief chat, and he was, as I said, very, very friendly, even though he was well within his rights not to be. And so then we concluded the call, very politely and all the rest, and he said, thanks for calling. And then, what surprised me even more, even though I was after falling off the chair, and he just was saying the piece of answer the phone. But he followed up then by sending me a really pleasant text message afterwards.
A text message, the line is a bit distorted, Rachel.
Sorry.
So you might just recap. He texted you after you put the phone down.
Yeah, which was totally unexpected. But yeah, he sent me a text message basically saying, thank you very much for your courtesy, and signed off Enda Kenny. So I think I have to frame that text message. I don't know if you can frame a text message. So I just apologised, obviously, for disturbing him his Sunday morning. And he said, no bothers, enjoy your day. Very,
so he sent you two texts. So you have two texts from the Taoiseach.
I do.
Very good.
My mother's very proud.
He said, no bother, enjoy your day.
Well, I just think that's a marvellous story. And only for that you've Rachel on the phone and she's talking to the country at large, you'd be disinclined. You would be inclined to disbelieve it. But I know you're telling the truth, because why would you make up a story like that?
Well, and that's why we actually did it, Mary, because we wanted to see. I mean, there was lots of stories doing the rounds that, you know, people were calling him on his mobile and he was getting all these phone calls. So we wanted to verify that that was actually true, because
we were
a bit inclined to feel the same way when we were reading those stories in other newspapers. We were kind of saying, ah, this is a card, you know.
Yes, I'm just wondering, did former Taoiseach like Bertie Ahern or Charles Haughey, they doubtless did not make their numbers available.
Well, that's it. I dare you try and get Mr. Town on the phone. I'd say that would be impossible.
It might be difficult. Mary, actually, I think what we'll do, Mary, is that you're so excited about the whole thing, we give you Enda's number and you can give him a ring.
Oh, well, not really. I don't particularly want to. But I just think it's a great story. I think you have a great sense of adventure, Rachel. You'll go far.
All right. Anyway, Mary O'Dourke, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And for reassuring us that Bridge here is strictly a no-cheats area. And thanks also to Rachel. Sure, why don't you make it a daily affair, Rachel? It's about time you'd be well up now at this stage, 9:20.
Ah, yeah, sure. We'll have our daily conference calls, I'm sure.
Rachel Kane of the Irish Daily Star, thank you too. We're back in a moment. We're going to be talking relationships.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.